As we were noticing in Matthew 1 and verse 11, and it speaks of Josias and Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And in that time frame are such books as Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, prophets Zechariah, Haggai, all involved in those times, and Malachi a little later. Nehemiah, one of the last books of the Bible, as far as chronology is concerned. If you look at the beginning verses of the number of the prophets, you'll find out when it's taking place. Like at the beginning of Zephaniah, and it says the word of the Lord which came into Zephaniah, it says in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah. So you know that when this book, the time frame when Zephaniah was doing these things was in the times of Josiah, about 639, 608. So not too long before the time of the carrying away into Babylon. Of course, Daniel picks up right at that time, the time of the first carrying away in 606. And we go on through that time of captivity. And coming out of that is the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra working with, in the time, Zerubbabel. Now Zerubbabel is mentioned here. If we look at verse 12 of Matthew chapter 1, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. Well, Zerubbabel, who was in the seed line of the Christ, will come out of Babylonian captivity and lead the people to come back to Judah, the tribe, the possession of Judah, back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Question? No. You just looked like you were about to ask something, or you were. Okay. Now, they're going to come back, and then, again, Ezra is going to be a part of that. Nehemiah is going to be part of that. And, as I mentioned, Zechariah and Haggai also in those times. And the Daniel being first, that's while they're yet in that 70-year captivity. He'll die there before they return. So Zerubbabel is part of that. The rebuilding, this would be the second temple. Not so wonderful, majestic, and elaborate, but the temple nonetheless. That's the one they will use until they end up building the third temple, which will be the temple of Herod, which is the one that would be standing when Jesus was on the earth. Okay? You know, so Zerubbabel will come back, lead the people out of Babylonian captivity. Israel will be established again in Jerusalem. Temple will be rebuilt. And after that time, we get down into the times. It says, verse 13, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Akim, and Akim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob. What's happening in all that time frame? Well, that's the time between Malachi and Matthew. That's the time when the Greeks will come into power in the world. This is the time of 1st and 2nd Maccabees. The time of the rising up of the Maccabean Jews to cleanse the temple from Antiochus Epiphanes, who went in and desecrated the second temple built by Zerubbabel, in which he took a pig in. And you're laughing at my Zerubbabels, aren't you? Yeah, I thought so. Antiochus Epiphanes, a Greek king, came in and brought a swine into the temple and sacrificed it. That was an unclean animal. He desecrated the temple. Well, there was all this fighting and the wars that went on in that time frame. There's not any inspired books about that. You have to look at secular history, 1st, 2nd Maccabees especially. That's the main historical record for that. Of course, we know about Alexander the Great. In that same time frame is when the Septuagint will be written in Alexandria, Egypt, about the year 250 B.C. That's the same Bible that Jesus and the apostles will use. Well, you A lot involved there, isn't there? Well, that's what's happening here in verses 13 and 14 and 15. And then we get in close now to the time of 4 B.C. 4 B.C. when the Lord will be born. By this time, in that time frame, Rome will come to power. And Rome will take over. Greeks will be destroyed. Of course, after Alexander the Great died, the Grecian empire was divided under four heads. And then, of course, Rome will destroy all of that. And Rome will come into power. And that'll fit Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. In the days of these kings shall God establish a kingdom. Well, what kingdom is that? It's the Romans. And Jacob and Joseph, who will be the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, into that time frame will they be born and live. Christ being born in 4 B.C. during the time of Herod the Great. And Herod the Great is the one that began building, and it was under his time when they built the third temple. And that is the temple where it talks about, in the New Testament, where it talks about Jesus being at the temple, in the area of the temple, not in it. He wasn't allowed to go in the temple because he was not a priest. He was not of the tribe of Levi. And he's not of the seed line of Aaron. Well, in the environs, the area, it's huge. The Temple Mount was huge by this point. Temple was very large and more elaborate. And that is the temple that is talked about in the New Testament. And it will be until about the time when Paul and Peter die. That temple will be destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans. And that will be the end of the Jewish religion, as it were. Now, they still practice that, but that'll be the ending of it officially in AD 70. Well, you see how God, through all of the changes that's going on here, all these times, and involved in this is actually five world empires. The Assyrian world empire, who took away the 10 northern tribes in 721. And then the Babylonians, who will eventually conquer Jerusalem in 586 B.C., taking away the Jews into captivity. And then the Medo-Persians will come in and take over Babylon. And in the time of those kings will be Zerubbabel and these other fellows. And they will come back, rebuild the temple, reestablish the Jews in Jerusalem. And then the Greeks will come along and overtake them. And then that will be the intertestament period. And then the Romans will take over the Greeks, and that will be the New Testament period. So God is working through all of that, through five world empires is involved here, plus Israel and Judah, of course, all involved in this genealogy. Lots of fighting, lots of wars. Yeah, we haven't lived through that much. The United States of America has not lived through that much.
That's part of our prosperity, too.
Yeah, truly. Blessing from God that we haven't been overthrown like that. But God's going to bring about one man in particular through this seed line, through all of these five world empires, all the world conquering and the millions and billions of people that will be killed in these wars, and the upset of Israel, the split of their kingdom, both of them going into captivity, not coming back until 536. The northern tribes gone in 721, and they wouldn't come back until 536. Much longer than they had captivity, much longer than the children of Judah did. All of these things, the people going out, being taken captive out of the land and assimilated into all these other nations, and what came about from all of that? Well, you think, well, the nation of Israel is just gone. How could God bring about one man out of all that, keep that seed line pure through all of that turmoil? But that's what you see right here in Matthew chapter 1. And the next verse, actually in Matthew 1 verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, as it begins. God's going through all of that turmoil, bring about the Christ. That is proof, a very powerful proof, if you know what was going on in those 16 verses. What's happening in the world? Egypt rising and falling through all of those things. The Assyrians rising and falling. The Babylonians rising and falling. The Medo-Persians rising and falling. The Greeks rising and falling. The Romans rising and falling. And then the church will be the undoing of Rome eventually through Constantine the Great. The change brought forth. And then the barbarian hordes from the north will eventually overrun the Roman Empire later. How could one seed line be, one genealogical record be kept? One seed line to bring Christ into the world. The fact is, only God could do that. Only God could do that. Why wasn't David's lineage lost through all of that? What about the Intertestament period? When there's no biblical record, why wasn't it lost then? The temple had been destroyed. In AD 70, the temple was destroyed and they did lose all their genealogical records. The temple had been destroyed twice before that and they hadn't lost their records. Not until AD 70. Why? Because the Christ had to come. God was keeping, through His providence, and miraculously involved as well, some of these things. God was keeping that seed line alive. At one point, in the time of Athaliah, you know, in the family of David, she killed every seed royal but one. All of them. The whole line. Gone. She killed them all. Those who were in line for the throne. Seed royal. Except Joash. And she tried to kill him. They hid him in the temple as a little baby. Like Dylan. And they kept him alive. And he would become king. Only God can do that. You see all that starting back in Genesis chapter 12. And we're getting more and more detail as we go along. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now, at the end of Genesis 29, the coming forth of Judah. Pretty amazing, really, when you think about it, how much. This is, all of that has to do with the rising and falling of the history of the world. If you know how to put it all together. Any questions or comments? How many people's minds have been, are kind of exploding? No questions? Comments? Well, hopefully that will help you appreciate the providence of God and His ability. If God can do all of that through all of those centuries, do you think He's going to have any problem taking care of us today? And our small problems? Brethren, if that doesn't prove it, I don't know what will. Yes, sir.
I've heard someone say the opposite. They said, "Oh yeah, we can trust that God can deliver salvation, but we don't trust that He can do everything else in our lives."
Only a fool would say that. That's very ridiculous. It's someone very ignorant of the truth. Because God's Word teaches just the opposite of that. It truly does. Just the opposite. I mean, that's just one of the things that God did. That's the main thing, bring about Christ. But what about all the other things that He did that's mentioned in the Scriptures? Keeping people.
The world wouldn't contain the books.
Yeah, just think about what the Christ did in His lifetime. And as mentioned there in John. But these are written that you might believe. And the believing you might have life eternal. That's what the book's all about. That's what God's entire purpose from Genesis 3 onwards is to save mankind. Because we were lost. And He loved us enough to do whatever was necessary to bring about a possibility of salvation for us through the Christ. That's what it's all about. Any questions or comments? Okay, we'll get back to Genesis next week.